Hello, hello.
I'm KJ, and this is Midwest Bias. Thanks for joining me today. As we always do, I try to start the podcast off by reading podcast reviews, but honestly, I think it's been several months since we had a podcast review. I mean, what do I have to do to get a review? I mean, maybe it's time to call in Robert Colpin's Swagmaster. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Swaggy K, let's talk. So, no podcast reviews. Let's go right into the most Midwestern moment of the week.
It's the most Midwestern moment until the next most Midwestern moment next week. Or whenever I please.
So, last week I was into the dentist. I needed a filling because one of my old fillings broke. In the last several times that I've been to him, we've talked about my two front teeth, especially my front left tooth, is loose. And that's because I have such a big overbite that my bottom teeth push my top teeth forward. And over the years, as we get older, blah, 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 our teeth get crowded, more crowded, they move, and it gets worse. So he recommended I go to see an orthodontist. But while he had me in there, he decided, he'd finished my filling and he was looking at it again and trying to decide where to send me, orthodontics. I don't know where else he'd send me, but he was trying to decide. And he looked at it and looked at it and he said, you know, do you mind if I just shave off a little bit of these two bottom teeth? And I didn't really think about all the consequences or what consequences there might be from that. But, you know, he started up his shaver and I thought he's the authority. I actually didn't think anything. I really didn't have time. But at some point I must have said, sure. So he starts shaving down my bottom two teeth. And then finally he stops and he says, you know, I'm going to quit right there because it's not really working. And then he said, and I don't really know what I'm doing. I think you need to go see the orthodontist. And I still didn't think anything of it until I came home and looked at it. And first of all, I looked at it and I could tell that he shaved him down. But it was more than that. No one else will notice it. You know, you'd have to stare at my teeth and nobody stares at my teeth. But my bite is different now. And so every time I bite down, it drives me nuts. And I didn't have any problem with my bite as far as making it uncomfortable for me. Now it's uncomfortable. And very Midwestern thing. Oh yeah, doctor, go ahead. He asked me, he turned his drill on. I didn't even have time to think about it and he was drilling, but I must have said, okay. He must have gotten informed consent from me, or he shouldn't have done it. And the next day, it was driving me so nuts that I did a very non-Midwestern thing and I called him. You know, Midwesterners, we don't complain. We don't, especially to doctors, we don't complain. But I did call and say, what is going on with this? And he sort of poo-pooed it and said, well, just go see the orthodontic specialist. And I went to see him and forget it. $6,000, which would all be out of pocket for Invisalign. That is not happening this year or next year. But that's an entirely different story. Okay, don't let the dentist drill down your teeth without thinking about it more. Think about what the consequences might be. And this has been the most Midwestern moment of the week. Why don't we move on to our Midwest guest co-host of the day.
Time for the Midwest guest co-host. She's the best co-host of the day. Yeah, it's the Midwest guest co-host. Yeah, you betcha she'll know just what to say.
Well, yes, it is time for the Midwest guest co-host of the day. And today, that Midwest guest co-host is the Hall of Famer. Welcome back, the Hall of Famer.
All right. Woo-hoo-hoo. Bring it on, November.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to?
I mean, I pretty much know what you've been up to, but I'm asking just to try to catch you in some sort of lie or something. Like, you've been doing something that I wasn't aware of, and then you just spilled your guts on the podcast.
Oh, no. No, none of that. Just been, you know what I have been up to is building a fence.
Big time. I was with you when, yeah, we built a fence. We could not have done this without our big little brother, Ben. Oh, hang on.
the name drop, name drop of the week.
I mean, Ben was a savior. I mean, yeah. We tried to do it without him.
He was definitely our coach. We were his assistants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we needed to dig 19 holes for 19 posts that go around the posts of the fence. And then we're going to do a welded wire fence. It took us 2 days, which apparently is fast. People are impressed by the 2 days. But a couple weeks ago, we decided we were going to manually dig the holes.
So one of us thought it would be a really good idea.
And one of us didn't. Guess who?
And yeah, one of us was a little more realistic.
Okay, so we get out there, we get the post hole digger. I'm talking about a manual post hole digger. And we got 1.5 done, and we quit, and we said, Ben, can you help? And he said, we got to rent a dingo. Got to rent a dingo. And I'm thinking, a dingo? A dingo's a dog. And the only thing I could think of was, the dingo ate my baby. But we rented a dingo, which is a bobcat with an auger, extension auger, mm-hmm. and drilled those puppies out in no time. And then it was still a lot of work. But boy, did that help a ton.
Yeah, we have so much rock. There is just no way it was going to happen.
Yeah, a lot of limestone underneath our earth here.
Yeah, and I had to do most of the work because...
I had a sweet spot.
Yeah, she has a sweet spot of about 6 inches, so about a foot down, and then she's good. Like, she can just rock it out for about 6 inches, and then she's done.
Yep, and then I needed a break. So, yeah, it was... It was very satisfying when we were done. We each contributed in different ways. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and Rue loves it.
Yeah, we're a good team.
Yeah.
We're a really good team, and it looks fantastic.
I don't think we need to make another fence, ever.
No.
Okay, so let's get to some of the Twitter comments from last episode, which will be interesting since you did not listen to last episode. Mm-hmm.
I forget, because I always listen, but that one I missed.
Yeah. So this one is from Smitty Scoop at Smitty Scoop, also known as Patrick Smith. I am planning a trip to Metro Detroit next week for a youth hockey tournament. Thanks for the Belle Isle suggestion. And then he says, did Kim Wilson recommend Jets Pizza, or is there a better place to get Detroit-style pizza? And this tweet warmed my heart, because what happened was we spun the wheel and it landed on, if we come to Michigan, Kim... What would be your number one recommendation? And she suggested Belle Island, and Patrick heard that, and he's like, I'm going to Detroit. Maybe I'll go to Belle Island. This is why we ask the wheel questions.
Yes. It's all about the wheel questions.
Yes. So thank you for sharing that information, Patrick. Even if it was just to get pizza suggestions from Kim, I was happy to see it. The next tweet came in from Ellen Vanderlinden at Ellen VL, and Ellen said, Rachel has a husband from Iowa. I knew there was something special about her. And I do think you listened to Rachel reports. You just haven't listened to the whole thing, correct?
Correct.
So you would not have to listen to Rachel reports to know that Rachel's husband is from Iowa.
I definitely know he's from Iowa.
Yeah. So Ellen thinks that he's special because he's from Iowa, but we should probably clarify with him if he thinks Quick Trip is better than Casey's to find out just exactly how special he is.
I bet he does.
He thinks Quick Trip is better. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you another reason that Quick Trip is better than Casey's. Speaking of big little brother Ben, he informed us that Quick Trip has their own beer. It's called Quick Series
Series.
And it has the Quick Trip logo on it. And it's a gas station beer, people. I cannot stress this enough. And there is a peanut butter stout in there that... It's only sold in the Wisconsin Quick Trips, and we found some. And that peanut butter stout, I love it. It's way up there. It's like close to Treehouse Brewing, and it's a problem because I can go right across the border and get some of this. But there is a little bit of a problem because it sounds like they're not always findable. They sell out quickly. They call it the beer cave.
Yeah,
in Quick Trip.
They have a beer cave.
Does Casey's have a beer cave, and does Casey's have a Quick Series peanut butter stout that's to die for? I think not.
Yeah, that beer was pretty cool. It is kind of fun to go and search for it. Our buddy Ben apparently just kept searching on his way back from Madison. Mm-hmm. Like they stopped at like every Quick Trip they could find.
Yeah. And he found a few, but not many.
And I lucked out. I was 2 for 2.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's from a brewery in Madison, I believe. And so they must partner with them and get like they get their own.
Yeah, but they don't call it any. They don't have a specific name.
It's it says Quick Series. Yeah, it says Quick Series. But then when you look on it to see what brewery it's from, I don't remember the name of the brewery.
Oh.
But it has the name of a brewery.
Let me check the refrigerator.
Ooh.
Because we may just have 2 left from the 4-pack you bought me. Okay, I have returned. Quick Series. It's called the Urge Tracker. And it's got some sort of robot wearing a belt that says KT. And he's like got a, looks like a gun, but on the other end of the gun is a fork. Not sure what that means. Anyway, peanut butter cup flavored milk stout. And they call it a dessert beer. 6.8% ABV. 1 pint. Is what they sell them in. It's called Carben 4. Ben.
Ooh.
K-A-R-B-E-N, the number 4 brewing in Madison, Wisconsin.
And Urge is a Quick Trip brand.
Yes.
Yeah, their own brand that they sell of various items like candies and stuff like that. I think I also saw like an IPA or something like that, but I don't like IPA, so I did not partake in that.
And I lied because there's only one of those left. So, and I know you didn't drink it because you didn't like the stouts. So I guess I drank 3 and not 2 like I thought. Okay, the next tweet is from Ed Butt at EDB1947. And he tweeted us a picture of Pez, not the Pez dispenser, but the Pez candy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's wrapped up, you know, it's in this little tubular thing. And he said, a crime against humanity because it was candy corn Pez.
Yeah, that's just not right. The only way you have candy corn is candy corn. No need for it to be adapted into anything else.
So I'm not sure if he means the crime is the candy corn, because, you know, speaking of tangents, it has had an endless debate on whether candy corn is the crime, or if he means the using it in the dispenser is the crime. I think the dispenser is a crime. I never really got into Pez dispensers. The idea of flipping a head open and eating out of something's mouth never appealed to me.
That definitely appealed to me, but the actual candy itself just didn't taste good to me.
Yeah, so
it wasn't worth it.
Right. I've tasted the Pez candy. It's not great. It's nowhere near as good as Sweet Tarts, which is the closest thing I can, or maybe Runts or something. Runts are better. Sweet Tarts are better.
Well, do they have I haven't even had Pez candy in forever.
Smarties. Smarties are better.
Yeah, because it doesn't have like a candy, like a coating on them, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Pez candy was gross. So the appeal was definitely the dispenser, I guess. I mean, it was kind of cool. Flip the lid and here it comes shooting out at you. But I think I'd actually like candy corn coming out of it if, you know, in comparison to what they usually put in there.
So it's actually candy corn. But isn't it candy corn flavored Pez?
Oh, if that's what it is, it's a crime against humanity. Yes.
I would think so.
I was thinking it would be actual candy corn in a square shape.
That would just jam up the dispenser.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I agree then. If it's supposed to be candy, if it's like pumpkin spice Pez, I mean, basically the same thing would be disgusting.
Yeah, that's a no-go.
That's what we're going with, that it's a candy corn flavored Pez, therefore, no. And the last tweet, Michelle Pendleton at M. Pendleton, true confession. I use my crock pots year-round as well. Totally agree on the shredded chicken tacos, she added in parentheses. But soups wait for the fall and winter for the most part. And my mother-in-law does the same thing as Kim. In the hot summer, the crock pot doesn't make the kitchen unbearable.
That's true.
Yeah. And I said, now, correct me if I'm wrong. I know you haven't listened to this part yet. But I said that we tend to not use our crock pots. We certainly don't use them all year long. I mentioned that we made a frittata a while back. But usually we only use the crock pot in the winter months for soups.
Yep, I would say that's mainly true. But yeah, we do have a few recipes that we use for our crock pot anytime.
Mm-hmm. We've never made shredded chicken tacos in it.
No.
And I think we should try.
Sounds
that.
Like we're
we've made
out.
Some pork loins once. They were good.
They were good.
Yeah. We should use the crock pot more often.
I agree.
I never know that I want an Instapot, but we have still not gotten that.
Because she wants all the gadgets.
Yep.
All the gadgets.
Gadget girl. Gadget girl.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like any new gadget. Oh, we need one of those.
Yes.
But okay. I will say she really wanted what is it? It's hard boils the eggs. An egg, yeah.
Yeah, it's
a little contraption.
My crazy aunt recommended it to us.
Yeah, just a little contraption that will hard boil your eggs for you and it can do other things. And I'm like, oh, we don't need that. I really like it.
Yeah, you're the only one that uses it.
Yeah, I use it a lot and I really enjoy it. It is quite handy.
You're welcome.
But for the most part, I say pass.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Michelle Pendleton, let's get into the question part of our program. But I will mention we are running low on questions again. We almost did not have a show this week because of that, but I did have a few other things I wanted to talk about. So I decided we could maybe have enough to stretch out a show today, but we really do need more questions, or I'm going to call it quits here pretty soon. Send your questions to MidwestBiasPod@gmail.com. So speaking of Michelle Pendleton.
Hold on. Time out. People, we need the questions. The show must continue. Bring them on.
Okay. So Michelle Pendleton sent in a question. She sent in a question that we covered last week with Kim. I'm going to ask you that since you haven't listened to it. And then she asked a question specifically of you, which we'll get to after that.
Sounds great.
So she said first, now that the weather is getting cooler, it's crockpot season. Asking for a friend, how many crock pots is too many crock pots?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my only reason.
Very definitive answer. Yes, my just like only the definition of the Midwest.
Reasoning for this.
Three states.
True. Is, so there's the usual size crock pot. For us, it's a 6-quart. And that works almost all the time. But there have been a couple times where I wish I had the small crock pot. Oh. Probably like a 1-quart or something, 1 or 2-quart, but it's more of the little round one when you want to make like a dip or something like that where you don't need a big crock pot. There's been a couple times where I've wanted a little crock pot.
And that would have
been
that.
Really helpful.
You should have said it out loud. We could have had it by now.
Yeah, no. But you know what I did is I borrowed one and mm-hmm. that worked out great. Mm-hmm. So I would say if you have three, that's just too many.
Well,
really?
So you really only think we need two?
Yeah, you only need two.
Plus an Instapot, so it equals three.
No, you need two. You don't even need the Instapot. If you have the Instapot, you really only need two anyway, because the Instapot can get rid of the other crock pot.
Mm, okay.
It knocks it off the shelf.
Well, I'll just let you listen to Kim.
Well, I can already tell that Kim is going to be out of hand.
Well, we did talk about crock pots the last time Kim was on, or the first time that Kim was on.
Yeah, and it was outrageous.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
She has one for every season and every reason.
So, and then Michelle also wanted to know, at a Midwestern potluck, is it okay to bring your offering in a crock pot?
Definitely. But you should make sure that there is a power strip nearby. Because mm-hmm. if not, you better make sure you're eating soon because you don't want that food sitting out and just getting warm because otherwise nobody's going to like that. But you need to be aware because like we would do potlucks at our school, but we had a really poor mm-hmm. outlet situation and it kept, you know, they keep, what
the
am I
fuses.
Thinking of?
Yeah. The
fuses.
Yeah.
We keep blowing the fuse.
Blowing the fuse. Yeah, okay. That came
fuse.
Up. That came up last
and
week.
We couldn't use that many crock pots. Mm-hmm. So you definitely need to be aware of the situation and make sure there's enough room for your crock pot with the use of an outlet or power strip.
Okay, so Michelle also wanted to know about a power strips, but you've answered that. And is there anything else? Like if you, let's say it's not at school, it's not a work function, but you're going, a friend's asked us to come over and we bring our crock pot. Should we inform the friend that, you know, is it okay? Do you have room for a crock pot or you just show up with it and no big deal?
I think you should ask if they have room for your crock pot.
Okay.
That way you don't show up unannounced with your crock pot
mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden,
crock pot coming.
That's right. Definitely, that's how it should be laid out. Right.
Everybody there. Should always announce before they walk through the door,
crock pot coming.
Like we're going to a friend's place next weekend. Yes. And they are providing food, but they also said we could bring something if we wanted to. So I'm not just going to show up to her house with a crock pot and no, just assume there's going to be some room for it.
I think
it.
You can, as long as you announce it right when you're coming through the door, crock pot coming.
Yeah, I'm not going to risk that.
Oh, okay.
And if that's how we're going to do it, I'm going to sit in the car until you've already gone in.
Okay.
All and right. have it all situated.
All right.
Then I will come in and blame it on you.
Okay. So I think we've pretty much beat the crockpot issue to death here. Michelle, also a question for the Hoffer. Last year, you were teaching third grade, I think, she says, instead of PE. Did you like it? Are you happy to be back teaching PE? And did your voice ever come back? Well, I can kind of answer the third one, but I'll let you take all three.
I think everyone can tell that my voice has not come back yet. I just lose it every single day.
Yep. And I think it's time you go to the doctor, because I would not be surprised if you had some sort of polyp on your vocal cord. This is too long. And maybe people can tell by my tone that I've discussed this with you and there's been resistance. It's time to go to the doctor.
We have had some discussions and it has been suggested that I go to the doctor.
Nicely.
We have a high deductible.
Yes, we do.
And I am cheap and I don't really want to pay that bill because, you know, they're going to like have to scope it or something.
Well, let me tell you what, if you come back and you permanently damage your vocal cord, how expensive is that going to be?
Well, pretty expensive and pretty quiet, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And then I can't get my Instapot, so just go to the doctor now, okay?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we'll think about that, because it never lasts this long. I always lose my voice every year, but it only lasts a week or two, and this has lasted quite a long time.
Well, since school started, the day after Labor Day.
Oh, did I lose it that quickly?
Well, your first week you did.
No. Okay. Well, all right. I think the reason is because I took last year off from teaching PE. So that's what I'm blaming on. But that really shouldn't happen. So I guess I will schedule that appointment. So I have not regained the use of my voice to where I would like it. As far as being a classroom teacher, I absolutely loved it.
And it was third grade, correct?
It was third grade, and it was so much fun. I don't know if people know, but I'm working on getting my principal license, and I'm hoping to be in administration at either the elementary or middle or high school level, for that matter. And that was a very valuable experience because I got to see what it was like as a classroom teacher. So now I have that perspective, and I got to learn about different curriculums with math and literacy. But the thing that I love the most is just how well I got to know the kids and their family. It was just so much fun. Like, I felt like they were my kids. And every time I see them, any of my kids, I just get so excited. And I think you can make a greater impact, and the students make a greater impact on you when you get to have them all day like that. You can really build those relationships where I get to know so many kids because I work with every student. So right now I have 500 and
as a PE teacher,
you 500 work, and some kids as a PE teacher, and I know them all, but I don't know them very well. Where that last year I knew 24 of them, and I knew them really, really well. So I loved it. It was a great experience, and I would totally do it again if they let me.
And she wanted to know if you were happy to be back teaching PE.
Yes. I mean, I do love teaching PE. I do think I'm ready for a change. I'm enjoying what I do, so it's not that. It's not like I don't want to go to work or anything like that. So I really do enjoy what I'm doing. But last year being in the classroom, I really realized that, you know, I don't miss PE. So to me, that was a sign that I'm ready to move on. And so I'm excited for what's ahead.
And you will be complete with your principal license in January.
Correct.
So
that is the goal.
That is coming up real soon.
And I will be celebrating because that is very exciting. It's been a lot of work.
Yeah, we'll all be celebrating.
Yeah, been a lot of work.
And then we have one more question, and this came in from Twitter from Christopher Giannini at Crispy Giannini. He says, okay, so I know we are a bit torn on the can you bring coffee from one store, but surely it's okay to bring coffee into a restaurant not known for having coffee? For instance, bringing a coffee into a Mexican restaurant where an entire family is eating and drinking. What do you think, Hoffer?
Big time no. What?
I'm going to let you take the WWJD, the what would Jolene do perspective here, the take.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she agrees with me on this. Like, who is so addicted to something that you just can't go into a restaurant without it? Like, yeah, that coffee example.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really need coffee that badly at a Mexican restaurant that I bring my own in? No. I leave it out in the car. I have my coffee beforehand, and I enjoy whatever the restaurant has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to bring anything extra. Check your food at the door.
You can't think of a single scenario where, like, what if, I mean, I know you were against me bringing coffee in or bringing donuts in. What did I do?
You brought donuts into Caribou Coffee.
Yeah, that's fine. But not anymore because they offer. Okay.
I did not want to bring in the uh-huh. donuts.
Yeah, well, you did it.
Though. But I went with it. Uh-huh. Happy wife, happy life.
I actually agree with you on this. I think that this situation, Christopher, is worse than what I did. I would not bring coffee into a restaurant. And first of all, I'm not sure. I guess Mexican restaurant, I guess I've never noticed that they don't serve coffee, probably because I don't think I'm going to be drinking coffee if I go in a Mexican restaurant.
Mm-mm, I don't think so either.
I'm having a margarita, baby.
There you go. I would, if I did that for some reason, I would feel the need to like shield it and put it in a thermos.
Okay. Well, let me.
Like, what's in that thermos?
There has been some Twitter discussion on this, and you're not privy to that. So I'm going to read to you because I think you deserve to know this. I am going to read to you the discussion that ensued after Christopher posted that. And Jolene was involved in this discussion.
Come on, Jolene, be on my side here. I'm thinking you are. I'm about 99.9% sure you got this one right.
Here is Jolene's answer at JMR Wojcik, Wojcik. Gosh, I just don't think so. When you choose to go out, you know where you're going, so you should accept for that one meal that you're going to have what that restaurant offers. Have the coffee when yes. you get home, winky face emoji.
We are twins. That's
pretty much word for word what you said. Hers was a little more gentle, but that's okay.
Well, she is more gentle than me.
I think you're both quite gentle. Christopher Giannini then replied, I brought shame to the CST. It was dinner before going trick-or-treating. I didn't choose the place and knew it was going to be cold and late. But we shopped local and asked if it was okay to bring in. I don't foresee this being a regular occurrence, but we'll do better in the future.
I do think it's great that he asked if he could bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally what I would do because I'd be like, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let me ask and make sure it's okay. Yeah,
you would definitely do that. And Jolene then responded, aw, you ask permission. You feel remorse. You weren't defiant in your actions. I drank coffee at a concert last night. It was cold here, too. No shame. All good. So, I agree. And normally, I'm not going to just read Twitter threads, but I figured, since you pretty much word for word aligned with Jolene, I figured I should read this to you. And I kind of agree with the two of you, too, on that one.
Thank you.
And speaking of Christopher Giannini, we got our rubber stamp in the mail the other day.
Yes, we did.
From Christopher's company, Best Rubber Stamp. And I have to say, it's the best rubber stamp I've ever had.
It is.
He surprised us, too, by putting a Minnesota Twins logo on it next to our address. And I thought that was a nice little touch. And I know that you were pretty happy that it didn't say the Hall of Famer.
I was very happy.
And I imagine, though, the designs that he, you know, you could customize whatever design you wanted, although I'm not sure why for baseball teams you'd want any other design than the Minnesota Twins.
Exactly. It should be the only one.
Well, I guess maybe the Atlanta Braves might be popular right now since they just won the World Series.
I don't think so.
Though I only know one Atlanta fan, Jim Young. Oh, hang on.
the name drop, of a week.
So maybe Jim Young wants to get a stamp with the Atlanta logo, but I question that. I like Jim Young, and I'm happy for him because his team won. But I'm also happy for Eddie Rosario, former Twin, who won the World Series. But Atlanta, they're like one of my top 3 to 5 teams in the entire MLB that I cannot stand.
Mm. Yeah, you were cheering for Houston, that's for sure.
And when I cheer like for Houston, the cheaters,
yeah, it's not good.
It wasn't a good series for me. It's I didn't watch a whole lot of it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's cool about that, the rubber stamp, though, is that you can get probably any design you want.
I'm sure you can.
It's just so cool. And I didn't even think of that. I just thought of our address.
Yeah. And Christopher, I'm so happy you didn't put the Vikings on there, because then I would have had a problem with it.
That would have been funny. I would have.
You would have liked that. Yeah, I would have not liked that.
I would have been doing a little dance for sure.
But, you know, Jim, if you want a rubber stamp, the best rubber stamp with the Atlanta baseball logo, I'm sure Christopher could hook you up with that. And if anyone else is listening and they're interested in getting the best rubber stamp, here's how you can get in touch with Best Rubber Stamp. You can look them up online at bestrubberstamp.net. You can email them at stamps@bestrubberstamp.net. Or you can call them in the Central Time Zone, Memphis, Tennessee, 901-278-4500. I think Christopher still finds that email's the best. Put in the subject line Midwest Bias. Mention Midwest Bias in any way you want. I mean, you could, again, like I said with Jolene a few weeks ago, you could say this podcast stinks to high heaven. But if you mention it, you still get 20% off. Do it. I mean, order a stamp or 10. It helps Christopher and it helps this podcast. And you get the best rubber stamp ever. Win, win, win.
I'm very excited to use it.
Me too. It's the little things, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, since we don't have, again this week, we don't have another non-Midwesterner guest. We don't have another guest expert. So I thought, let's ask the Hall of Famer some wheel questions. Or at least a wheel question. We are going a little long here. Are you up for that?
Bring it on.
All right, let's spin the wheel. By this point, I think everyone knows that I'm going to spin a wheel that's been generated for random assignment from numbers 1 through 5 to correspond with questions number 1 through 5. Whatever the wheel lands on, that's the question I'll ask you.
Can't wait. The suspense.
Let's spin the wheel. Ah, number 3. This one has not been asked. When you hear the term Midwest or Midwesterner, what is the first thing you think of?
Nice people.
Nice.
Yeah. That are, yeah, betcha.
Just oh, like, really?
Yeah, the accent of us northern folk.
You betcha. Yeah.
We do speak a little bit differently, it seems like.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Well, yeah, me more so than you.
Okay, I'm going to just stop it at that one question, because I want to run by a scenario that happened a couple weeks ago. And it's an actual thing that happened, and I'm going to run it by you, because, I mean, you already know about it. I'm going to say what happened, but I'm not going to say what I did.
Okay.
And then I want to know what people listening would have done. It's sort of like, what would Jolene do, and I would like to know what Jolene would do in this situation, actually. So you were not home. I was home, and I was outside. You're looking at me very perplexed. You don't know.
I'm really excited about what's happening here.
Do you know what I'm
I don't know. No, not yet.
Okay. I didn't think so. You were very perplexed. Yeah. So I'm outside and I hear this noise down on the road. So we live up above, you know, our driveway goes up a long way. Not a long way, but it's quite an incline. It's like an 8% grade. Anyway, I'm getting off topic.
8%.
No.
I have no idea, but you sounded very confident.
Yeah, 8% grade. So we're up above the road, but there is a road right below. It's gravel road, rural road, not very highly traversed. But I hear something down on the road. And there's a state trail there where people walk. So I thought there were people talking on the trail. You know, we hear people talking on the trail all the time. It's easy to hear them from up here. So I'm out there and I'm hearing this. It didn't sound like friendly talking. It sounded kind of like an argument. So I looked over the edge and I saw a truck parked on the wrong side of the road over off to the side, but on the wrong side of the road. And he was on the other side of the road, stepped in front of, I presume, his wife, who was walking away from him. I feel like, I'm not quite sure what happened, but I think that either he was looking for her, like driving, she got out of the car and was walking. Like they got in an argument, she got out of the car and was walking, and he was looking for her. And he found her, pulled over quick, jumped out, and tried to get her back in the vehicle. So I don't know. That's what I think happened, but I only came up on the scene with him standing in front of her and like making his arms big, like a football player, like you're not getting past me kind of thing. And he said, get in the truck. And she said, no, why? And he said something like, because the truck is how we're going to get home or something. And she said, no, I don't want to. I want to walk or whatever. Said something like that. And he said, he got a little bit more agitated and he swore, get in the GD truck. And kind of grabbed her, but never, it didn't hit her. And she pushed him away and kind of slapped his arm. So I wouldn't call it hitting, but she slapped his arm away to try to get away from him. So eventually there was no violence beyond that. And I would not call what I witnessed violence, but he wanted her in the truck. She didn't want to get in the truck. And finally he does get her back over to the truck, not by physical violence, talking. He talked her over to the truck. But, you know, it just, to me, it looked like this woman probably had dementia and had wandered, and he was looking for her, and he found her, mainly because of the comment, well, the truck is how we get home, sounded to me, as a trained professional that I am in a nursing home, it sounded to me like he was trying to deal with his wife who didn't know where she was. But how do I know that for sure? So it looked like, I don't know, should I take down this gentleman's license plate? Should I call the police? Should I just make them aware of what's happening, or should I let it go? And I called the Hall of Famer and I asked the Hall of Famer what I should do. The Hall of Famer gave me her advice, but you can say what you advise me to do, mm-hmm. And then I kind of want to know what others might do.
Yeah, I think it's a great question to bring up. I thought that she should call it in just to be on the safe side. Because you never know. What if this has been like the seventh or eighth time and maybe it is really a domestic situation? Just because you don't know, I would just call it in and say, hey, this probably isn't a big deal, but I just wanted you to be aware of the situation that happened. So that's what I would do, just to be on the safe side.
So, and I always have, I'm not the person that likes to call the police. I have I don't like to give my name, and I think this could be a Midwestern thing, but I don't want to give my name and address. I'd rather not be involved with the situation. I would just rather just say, this is what's happening. Come and check it out. You don't need to know who called. So that was playing a role in my head. So my instinct was to not call the police. Mine was to, because I kind of thought I knew what was happening, but the Hall of Famer made a point that I kind of knew in the back of my mind that I changed my mind, by the way, I am telling you what I did. I kind of knew in the back of my mind, yeah, you probably should call this in because you don't know. So I did call it in, and the lady on the other end sort of just interrupted me. She's like, okay, it sounds like you got a domestic. And I'm like, well, this is what happened. And I was able to see his license plate. So I gave the license plate number. They had already driven away. I said, well, there's nobody here. They drove away, but here's the license plate number. And I described the truck and I told them they're in there, a couple in there. They look like they're at least in their mid 60s. They were an older couple. And they asked me for my name. And I said, I'd prefer not to say my name. I was just outside and saw it. So that's what happened. I never heard back. If anybody has had this situation occur, or what, even if you haven't, I'd like to know what you would have done. And I forgot, before we go, I wanted to introduce a new little segment called
Is This a Midwest Thing, or Am I Just Reaching, or Do I Know Nothing? Wait. Don't answer.
answer that.
You and I were driving in Wisconsin, just about 10 miles away from here. It was in the summer still, because it was
toward the end.
It was
summer.
Nice weather, and there were a lot of motorcycles
out.
It might have been September. You know, when those motorcycles come out, it's one. You know, around that time, it's the last hurrah because it's starting to get cold, and so you don't see many motorcycles around here in the winter. And we were noticing that we were following a motorcycle, two motorcycles, two guys riding together, one up ahead a little bit of the other, so not side by side. And we noticed that every time this motorcycle met another motorcycle, he did what we ended up just calling the motorcycle wave, which, you know, we talked about the steering wheel wave, your hands at the top of the steering wheel. Do you use one finger? Do you use two? Do you use your whole hand? What do you do? Well, these guys, was it usually a whole hand or was
no,
it
was usually just two fingers.
Two fingers, like a peace sign.
Yeah, like a peace sign.
And they brought it out from their hip. Like they extended their arm past their hip, so they didn't bring it up in the air. Just, if you imagine they had their hand in their pocket, they pull their hand out of their pocket, they reach straight out, and they give the two-finger wave to the motor, only to motorcycles. Nothing, no cars got this wave. Only other motorcycles. Now, it didn't look to me like it had to be a certain motorcycle. Like, I saw some Honda Goldwings. I saw some Harleys. I think these guys were on Harleys. I didn't see them just doing it to Harleys. So I was wondering if this was, both of us were wondering, is this a Midwest thing or are we reaching here?
We are very intrigued. And we were paying attention to what people were doing as a response. You know, were they giving the two-finger salute back or what were they doing? But it was a very relaxed move.
Very relaxed.
Like, arm was relaxed. Fingers were relaxed.
It was almost like if you aren't paying attention, it was almost like secretive.
Yeah.
Like a secret wave or a secret code. And there, most of the other guys or gals, I think mostly where they were men, they did two fingers. But I did see some full hands. I did see a few.
So one finger, but mainly, most often it was two.
And was always down near their hip, never like a real wave, like a wave you'd think of. So if anybody out there knows, if, for instance, in, I don't know, New York, Boston, do they give this same type, is this a motorcycle wave or is this a Midwestern type of deal?
It was very friendly.
It was very friendly.
I was enjoying it.
These people were in the club. They were in the motorcycle club.
I would say it's similar to any time that we're driving with our scamp, camper. We see another scamp and we give the wave.
We wave.
So it's like a club kind of thing.
So anyway, I'd like to hear if anybody has noticed this or if this is just a Midwest thing or both. Or am I reaching? Or all three. Hoffer, Hall of Famer, thank you for joining me. I feel like after all that, now would be a good time to maybe drink some more beer. What do you think?
Let's crack it open.
All right, then let's move right into Taste Test with the Hall of Famer.
Taste Test with the Hall of Famer.
All right, we've still got five total beers from Patrick Moffitt's stash that he sent us of the Western beers, and we are drinking two more tonight. So that means the next time we do the taste test, we're going to get three. We're ready to party. So why don't you've picked them as always. Before you describe them, shall we review the cheesy rating system that we don't use?
Absolutely.
Zero-ish. One.
Criminy.
Two. Oofta. Three.
It's interesting.
Four. Ah, geez, that's good. Five.
You betcha.
Okay, let's talk about the two beers you've selected from Patrick Moffitt's shipment.
The first is from Shades Brewing. Very simple logo. It is like a grayish brown color label with like an off-colored white. Just very simple, no pictures or anything, just all words.
Shades?
Shades, yep.
Oh, Shades Brewing. You'd think they'd have sunglasses on.
I don't know. The name of this one is Aphrodite, and it's a Belgian-style blonde ale, and it's from Salt Lake City.
So it's a blonde ale.
Nice.
You should like that.
I should. I think I will. I'm looking for the alcohol by volume because that's always very important to me. I always need to look for the alcohol by volume. I'm not seeing it, though. Are we talking like a 3-2 beer or something? Well, I hope not.
I think you better let me look. Okay. I have my reading glasses on. You do have
your cheaters on.
It's time for to get some.
Oh, found it, everybody.
Oh, it good. Is we can continue now.
6.2%. Wow, that's pretty high.
So Salt Lake City, okay?
Yep, Salt Lake City, Shades Brewing. Bring it on.
Open it up.
It's a blonde, so it should be pretty light. Ooh, it's a little darker than I thought. It's almost more golden, really, than blonde.
Mm. Oh, yeah, and a sufficient head right there.
Yeah, it's almost a color of like a blue moon or something like that. It's actually quite orangish. Oh, interesting. Yeah. I'm giving that a 3. Interesting.
Well, you haven't even drunk it yet.
No, just drank it. And there's some head on there. There's some fizz, some fuzz. Mm-hmm. Smells like... Yeah, it smells like it maybe be. Oh, I like it.
For the record, she has not tasted it. She just likes the smell.
Yeah, the smell. It's almost citrusy. Smell
like emergency? Like orange emergency?
No. No, but it does smell citrusy. I'm going in.
Okay.
Mm, I like that.
Mm. She's going for sip number 2.
Yeah, it's kind of like a more of like the standard beer. Maybe even if you're going real commercial here, even maybe like a Budweiser.
Mm. This is a craft brew. This is not, you can't compare.
Yeah, I'm just, it seems more commercialized. It's a
light.
It's more, I shouldn't say commercialized, but it's something you would see or a type that you would see anywhere you go. You know, when you go to a bar, there are some drinks, some beer that you can always like count
Budweiser.
On. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
Okay. Well, what number would you give it?
I'm getting a 3.5. I would definitely order it.
Oh.
Yeah.
More interesting plus.
Yep. Okay. Especially because some bars, they don't offer many options.
They don't offer many good options.
Yeah. So I would definitely order it.
Okay. Now, the fuzz or the head is almost gone now. I'm smelling. I'm giving it the old sniff test. I don't smell the citrusy that you did. I don't quite know what I smell. It smells like, well, it smells better than beer, I'll tell you that. So here we go. Yeah, there's a different... It's not good. I mean, it's not something that I would like. It's like a blonde ale, which is not my... You know, I feel like this Quick Trip stout has tainted everything. Like, it's so good that it's going to really take a really good stout to impress me. But what I will say about this beer is that it is not as bad as Budweiser. It is not as bad as, I don't like any, and people like Budweiser. So I'm saying Budweiser is bad, but not because it's like a brand name. I'm saying it because it's bad to my taste buds. It is not
bad good. On buds.
Budweiser is bad on the buds. But this is better than that to me. Budweiser, Coors Light, Busch Light, I will say is worse than Budweiser and Coors Light. Busch Light, Busch, I don't know. This beer, better than those. Taking another sip. There's a little citrus in there. I can't smell it, but I can taste it. I'll give it a straight up 2-. Excuse me, 2+.
2+, so 2.5.
2.5.
Okay.
Which is...
Criminy, no.
Oofta.
Oofta. Yeah, oofta plus.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it maybe could go to interesting. It's not like, oh my God, I can't take another sip of this. Get this out of my mouth ASAP.
Yeah, I'll be drinking it.
But the Hall of Famer likes it, and she will drink it. And I'm excited for the next one because I hope I like it.
Sorry, I had to have one more sip before we move on. But yeah, what I was trying to say, I think, is that it's more of like a middle of the road that I think a lot of people would think it's good.
It's not your, some of those IPAs, pale ales, those are I think, a little bit more strong. Mm-hmm. Or stouts. People don't like stouts. They're strong. Fruit beer, that's a whole different ball game. Now we know that saisons are a whole different ball game. But the blonde ale, that kind of thing, I see what you're saying. I think like it's easy on the buds. It's not bad, but it doesn't taste too much of one thing. It tastes...
Or let's say you're out with a group of friends and you're going to buy a pitcher of beer. That would be a good one because a lot of people would probably like it.
Oh, okay. So easy on the buds.
Easy on the buds. Yeah. Okay.
Next.
Next one is from Salt Flats Brewing Company, out of Salt Lake City. I can't wait to go there. We need to go there sometime. I have never been. Yeah. You have.
Yeah.
I need to go.
I lived in Salt Lake City for 8 weeks for an internship, and I loved Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I need to go. This one is called Lowrider, and it is a chocolate milk stout.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I'm very excited about this one.
You're not excited. I am.
The alcohol by volume is very impressive. We're into the sevens, 7.5.
This is what we found about stouts. They're a little higher percentage.
Yeah. A smooth blend of chocolate milk and classic stout flavor. Everyone deserves this special treat.
Okay, so this may give Quick Trip Series a run for its money.
And this can is very nice. It's simple, but nice. Like, they have mountains in there, and the colors are like a black and a brown. It's just, yeah, I like it. I like what's happening here.
The logo is nice.
I just don't want to have to taste it.
You might like it. Everyone deserves this.
That's what she says every time about a stout. You might like it. Have I liked one? No.
No.
This, my friends, is a very dark beer.
Ooh, look at the fuzz on that.
There's definitely some fuzz.
What does it smell like?
Chocolate. I can definitely smell the chocolate.
I'd like to point out that you've poured this into the, I believe I had that TK Jingles shot glass secured by Todd Takei.
Okay, here we go. Get ready for the ish.
Don't go into it with that attitude. Go into it with a... You can go into it with a... Okay. I wish I had a camera.
Oh. Oh, man. It's not a good aftertaste either.
It's a zero?
It lingers. Yeah. I hate giving zeros. I really do. So I'm going to give it a one. Well, I just hate giving zeros.
Well, what's the point of having zero on the scale?
Oh, true. Gosh.
The look it's on your zero. Face said a zero.
It's not good. And it's still hanging out on the buds.
Okay, well, drink the other
one. Yeah, I'm going to.
All right, I'm smelling it. Oh, yeah. Smells like a stout. Mm. Smells like a really good stout. It smells like that Quick Trip stout.
It gave me the chills. And not in a good way.
All right, here I go. You take your ish, you sit over there quietly.
Okay. Your buds are broken, I can tell. What do just you mean? By looking at you.
Broken?
Yeah, like you like stouts. I don't even understand
it. What does it mean, broken?
Like your buds don't work.
Oh, I see. You betcha.
No!
That's a 5, baby.
Oh, what? How does it compare, though, to the Quick
Patrick.
Series?
It's right up there. It's right up there with the Quick Series. Yeah.
I just don't even understand.
Well, it's a good thing because you like your ales and your blonde Leinenkugel summer shandy. And I like Salt Flats chocolate milk stout. I like that peanut butter stout from Quick Trip. I like Treehouse. Yeah. I like my stouts.
Opposites attract.
Yeah. Okay, so we both have scored a beer we like.
Yes.
This is a great time to end the podcast this week and go drink our beers and have a great Central Standard Time.
Woohoo!
All right, that's it. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Bias Pod, and you can email your questions and comments to MidwestBiasPod@gmail.com. Be sure to rate and review and subscribe or follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, Overcast, That's where I get my podcasts. And no, Overcast is not a sponsor of this podcast. Yet. But Best Rubber Stamp is. Thanks so much to Best Rubber Stamp and Christopher Giannini and all the folks over there. You can find them at bestrubberstamp.net. Email them at stamps@bestrubberstamp.net or give them a call at 901-278-4500. Mention Midwest Bias, get 20% off your first order.
And especially be sure to rate and review this podcast if you really like it. If you don't like it,
no worries, don't even waste your time.
Really, it's fine.
So thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Bye now.
Check your food at the door.